job is to carry a flag. Everybody else gets a gun and you're toting a flag. Adam, I'm like, man, I can't even shoot back. But yet, you know what turns the tide of the battle? The flag. Because it's a rally point. It's something that builds faith. It's something that builds hope. It's something that builds courage. It's something that declares freedom. And if you can ever come in to that captured enemy ground and put a flag up, it doesn't matter if there's only four guys standing around it. If you can put that flag up, there may be still be 10,000 enemy troops, but if you can plant that flag on an enemy rampart, then it stirs hope for everything else to follow. And that's the gates I'm talking about today, guys. And I think that's huge. I know that's huge. I know that's huge. I don't care how jacked up your farm looks like right now. It may look like a... Y'all know what this piece of property looked like? Yeah, there were some pastures here. You know what it looked like right here when we bought this? There was some old... This was old nasty parking and parking spot and drinking spot and shooting up spot and everything else. And there was hedge and brush and all of that stuff. But it wasn't it. Wasn't it? Wasn't it? And maybe in some of your years of misspent youth, you were one of the guys that was helped create, right? A lot of Bremen did. But look what it's become, because one day a group of people put a gate up and said, this is kingdom place. This is kingdom ground. That's why you can walk down there and it feels different, Chris. Casey, he may be at work down there. You can walk down there and it feels different. We have a little big man classroom down there. It feels different. We do trailer trip. It feels different. Because somebody put a gate up one day. Somebody put a flag up one day. And said, I'd prophetically declare that this is God's. And in my mind, in heaven's mind's eye, this is what it looks like. 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 If you have faith, He'll build it. If you have faith, He'll build it. Amen? All right, let's do this. Let's send our kids up to children's church right quick. We're going to release y'all right quick. Bless them. Bless these kids. Look at that. Whew. Look at that. Woo, that melts me. She didn't even say it to me. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Isabel just hugging everybody on the way. Golly, she is feeling it. She's got the joy of the Lord. She's hugging Leah, and Leah's going with her. I like it. Catch a light for me back there. So, Carol, will you get that light for me? Amen. Y'all turn in your Bibles right quick. I want to hit something here this morning. I feel this is important. I'd never want to be long for the sake of being long in services and all that. But I also believe that our culture is ruining us on kingdom and allowing God to work and to move and to stir and to do. And I think that we're robbing from our children because we're so ADD in life. We can't focus on anything. That's why we move from this to this to this to this and constant incessant need of being entertained and all of that. And it directly rolls right over into our kids. In that, they will never, and in that, we will never be able to embrace the process because sometimes the process is long. Sometimes the process is long. A lot of times the process is long. Embrace it, guys. Embrace it. If you come If you come out to our place next month, it won't look much different than it did this month. There'll be a little bit of change, but there won't be a lot of change. But if you come 2 years from now, there you'll see huge change. If you come 10 years from now, you'll see huge change. And that's the way it has to be in every aspect of our life. The gate's the start. The gate's the start. You know, these things are time in the making, and I want our kids to get this and to understand this, that life is about process, and it's about embracing the process. It's about walking the process out. You know, if it's career, if it's education, if it's school, if it's relationships and all of that. I want to talk about just I'm going to set the table, and then we're going to leave, and then we'll hit this again Wednesday night. Y'all turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. I want us to continue in our study of, we've regressed a bit in backing off of our study of Jacob, but God's carried us in a few things to launch the beginning of the year. I want us to continue in talking about separating the soul and spirit. And this is some deep stuff, some powerful stuff, some very, 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 very significant stuff for our lives, for the lives of those that are around us that God's called us to pour into. We looked at Abraham and in Genesis 25, and we kind of launched out of this with Abraham and Isaac, and a word that the Lord gave us for the beginning of the year, that this was going to be a year of narrowing. It was going to be a year of dismissing things in our life. And when I say dismissing things, Randy, I don't necessarily mean that they are killed from our life, but I want to say when we dismiss them, we relegate them to their proper position of importance and authority. Okay? Nothing wrong with these things. I'm not saying these things are bad. I'm saying they just need to be placed in their proper position of authority and significance and priority in our life. Okay? You know, we talked about the dividing of the spirit and the soul. We talked about the flesh man, the spirit man, and you know, it really comes down. We talked about the soul, and I put in my notes on the soul, it's our emotions, our personality, our thoughts, our feelings. This fleshy carnal man cannot govern the spirit man. I don't want to take away who you are and personality and all of these things and your emotions and all of that, but it cannot govern the spirit man. Because what it will do is the soul man will always bring about inferior results. All right? The soul man will always bring about inferior fruit. We looked in type and we talked about Abraham and Isaac, and it said that Abraham blessed Isaac with all that he had, and I said that the church puts that as our epitome of church life and our epitome of success. But then when Abraham died, then it said God blessed Isaac. And the blessings of God were far superior, no matter how good the blessings of Abraham are, the blessings of God are far superior than the blessings that Abraham can bring in. And so as we begin to come in and yield to the spirit man and allow God to come in and raise that up and put that in a place of authority and government in our life, Jeremy, what happens is we live in a place of superior blessings, superior function, superior life. And then really that's what it's all about. In my life, I do not worry. This sounds kind of, I don't know if it does or not. Kenny, I don't worry about falling into this deep, dark sin. I don't worry about, you know, going out and having an affair on Lori and my marriage falling apart. I don't worry about getting hooked on, you know, heroin or marijuana or anything like that. I don't worry about all those things happening in my life. You know what I do have a fear of in my life, my greatest fear in my life, that I will live in a place of inferior use, inferior purpose, and inferior blessing. I know I'm going to be blessed. I know I'm going to be used. I know that I'm going to walk in a level of purpose. But my fear is that I will walk in an inferior place because I'm simply walking and being satisfied in the blessings of Abraham instead of the blessings of God. Not everything God called me to be. Absolutely. That's it. That's my biggest fear for this church. My biggest fear for this church is that we are a collection, a community of believers, that they are a bunch of good folks that love Jesus. If that's our standard, we're there. Because that's what y'all are. That's what y'all are. Y'all a bunch of good folks that love Jesus. But Todd, is that all there is? Not at all. Harrison County's probably got about 68 churches in it. I hadn't done a count lately. I remember when I was a Baptist pastor, there were 40-something Baptist churches in Harrison County, which is kind of mind-boggling to me. But there's 40-something in Baptist. There's probably 60-something churches in Harrison County right now. And you know what those churches are full of? A bunch of good people that love Jesus. But yet, us being a bunch of good people that love Jesus is not changing the world. It's not releasing heaven into the earth. Yes. And we come in, and we're like, Brother Sid, what more do you want, man? You know, I come in on Sunday, and I put my tithe check in the basket. I love my wife, and I love my kids. I'm trying to live a simple life. You know, I can just hear Jeremy's argument right now. What more do you want? You want me to stand on my head in the corner and spin circles and all of that stuff? I want you to live in a place where Abraham's dead and God blesses and flows through. Where your spirit man is governor. Where he is in authority. Where if your spirit man has you in this exact same place, then you can say, it is well with my soul. But if your soul man has got you in this place because I'm a good man that loves Jesus, then you're living in inferior blessing. And my fear for you is not that you're going to go run off with some, you know, hot chick that you work on her telephone line. I'm not worried about that, Jeremy. You know, I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about you being an absentee dad to your two sons. But my fear for you, just like my fear is for me, and I'm not singling you out and saying you're not in a good place, my fear for you and the same fear for Brett Kent and Rhett Tollison and Robin Trantham and Clay Cross and everybody else in this house is that we would come in and we would say that the blessing of Abraham is good enough. What more do you want? Just leave me alone. I just want to go home and watch a football game. You know? I've had a pretty good week. I'm loving my wife. I've done all my kids' stuff this week. But yeah, we come in and we have to ask ourselves, am I walking in the place to where Abraham died and God's releasing full blessings? I walked away from this. Lori and I just got back from Arkansas. We went, we drove down to Gillette, Arkansas, in the middle of absolutely nothing, nowhere, and we hunted ducks. Had a wonderful time doing that. And I had a great, you know, Lori was excited when we went because she said, "I got a three day date with my husband." That's her, you know, take on, I'm going duck hunting. I got a 3-day date with my husband and I don't have to share him with anybody. But Robin, when I came back and I had a wonderful trip and a wonderful time and we limited out on mallards both days and, you know, it was like, whew, we're killing some greenheads and all that stuff. But I came back and there's a part of me that was a bit frustrated from the trip. And the reason being is because I didn't go far enough in ministry on two occasions that I had. That God set some things up. God set the table. And did I come across as a good man that loved Jesus and loved his wife? I mean, you know, heck yeah, man, I'm the only cat down there that carried my wife with me. So they're like, dude, really? Wow, and all that stuff. But I had two different occasions that I did not go far enough in ministry. I had one guy that Lori and I were sitting out, and it was just us three, and he was with a group of eight, and they were being old high school, 30-year-old high school buddies, you know, having a good time and doing their reunion thing, and, you know, with plenty of their, you know, George Dickel and Jack and all that good stuff and everything and all that stuff. But Lori and I were sitting, some nice guys. But we're sitting out by the fire pit one guy, and we were just talking about life and talking about, you know, his marriage and, you know, and the kids. And I like to get people's story. I get real personal with people. I'm like, dude, tell me your story and da-da-da and all this stuff, you know. And they were at a place where they had not been able to have children. Oh, they've been married. They're very successful in a lot of areas, but have not been able to have children. And I walked away from that, and me and Lori spoke encouragement to them and had great, you know, communication with them and all that stuff. But I walked away from that without grabbing his hand and praying with him and over their marriage and over their the fruitfulness of her womb and all that, because I could tell the longing in him that he wanted children. Couldn't you, Lori? And even though they did a lot of cool stuff and lived a good life, and they, you know, they were all about snowboarding and all of these things, and, you know, hunting and all of this stuff, you know, and everything. But I had something that I could, Lori and I had something that I could release in him that we failed to do so, because you know why? We stopped at the level of them some good people that love each other and love Jesus. But kingdom didn't get released into his life. Not at the level it should have. Perhaps it provoked some thought. Maybe he went back and, you know, and told his wife, man, I met this coolest couple and da-da-da-da-da and all of this stuff. Perhaps. But I stopped at the blessing of Abraham instead of coming in with the blessing of God and say, let's lay hands on this situation and let's pray over this situation and all of that stuff. And maybe I did it because I didn't want to come across as the weird cat that wants to lay hands on people at the duck lodge. You know, that's really not a fear thing. That's really a pride thing. That kind of stuff's what I'm talking about, guys. One of our guys, we were picking up decoys after we got through shooting yesterday, and him and I had conversation, or the day before yesterday, Friday, and him and I had some conversation and all of that stuff, and something had come up, and we were talking back and forth, and so I asked him, I was like, so Ryan, I said, you know, Where do you and your wife, where do y'all go to church at? Because we'd had some communications and all. And he's like, well, we really don't go to church, you know, in this season of our life because of, you know, this and this and this. And he'd already talked about what a godly grandmother he had and a godly mother he had in previous conversations. And it was like with him, I mean, we begin to have some dialogue back and forth. I mean, we're out wading in a rice field picking up decoys, and we're talking about church and stuff like that. And we'd had just a wonderful, successful hunt and everything. And so it was a good euphoric thing and all that stuff. But you know what I did? I tell you, I stopped at the blessings of Abraham instead of pushing on through and really releasing kingdom stuff in that, you know. You know, Lori was like, she was engaged in the conversation. She said, well, you know, it's all about connecting in the community of believers and the relationships you develop and all of that stuff. You know, church in itself isn't the answer, but what comes with it is and all of that stuff. But I just never got there where I should have gotten. Because within me, because I'm a spirit-filled son of the Most High God, I am His beloved, within me, I have keys, and I have the power of life and death and all of these things, and I have the tools of this, and God wants us to release that, to bring effectual change into people's lives. And we all stop short because we're okay with being, those are good people that love Jesus. My goodness, this year I want us to stop just being that. Stop being satisfied with that. I want us to want more and believe more. Because His redemption and pouring into us, it demands that. It demands that. Let's just read some scripture right here, and I'm going to throw something out. Golly, that is so distracting out there. I'm sorry. Some deer standing out in our pasture. They're all does. It's okay. Season's over. They're all does. Don't we get too excited. That's God's beauty right there. Look at that. Isn't that pretty? Just drop dead gorgeous. That screams the glory of God. It does. All right, I know I'm jacked up. Let's go. Romans 8, verse 1. Now I've got everybody thinking about deer and looking out the window. They're pretty, aren't they, Stephen? God made that, man. And their grace and their beauty. Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a plus, too. Chapter 8, verse 1. Let me reel myself and everybody else back in now. All right. We're in this... what we got going on here? I'm afraid to listen. We're totally getting off track this morning, aren't we? Between me and Ann and everything else. You got it, brother? All right. Everybody's on back. Romans 8, verse 1. I want us to talk about the significance and the importance. And we're going to develop this Wednesday night because I can't teach all of this in the next 15, 20 minutes. But the way that God steps in, God will not step in what we're talking about in Genesis with Abraham and Isaac until Abraham dies. Until our soul man dies or is relegated to a position of non-governing authority in our life, the spirit man cannot take us to the next level. Okay? Until my dreams, until I realize my dreams are not high enough, his dreams can't kick in. As long as your dreams are adequate, his will not kick in. But when you come in and you say, I want to see things the way you see things, God. I want to hear what you're saying. I want to know your thoughts for this body. Okay? Because I really think we as a body have been very satisfied for the last 20 years of being a good community of believers that love Jesus. They're good people that love Jesus, and we want to raise solid kids. Did God call us to raise solid kids? Yes. But did God call us to raise more than solid kids? Did God call us to raise world changers? I'll be honest with you, I felt a little bit, not that I don't want to quit doing these things. I do want to do these things. But when we got back from the youth trip and all of that stuff, we had a good time with the youth and it was fun. And they know we love them and they know we care about them and all of that stuff. But what kind of a mark is, and it will leave a certain level of mark. Don't get me wrong. But what, because I just went through Hamilton twice. And I even said this to Lori, not that you're going to get 24 teenagers excited about, we're going to go to the woods in South Carolina and go to revival for 2 nights instead of going to a water park and to Universal Studios. But what's going to leave a longer lasting impact on their life? Both are important. Please hear what I'm saying. Both are important. Don't worry. We're going to, you know, Matthew, don't worry. We're going skiing next year, brother. We're good. The place is booked and all that. Ryan, don't worry. We're going skiing next year. But, you know, I want more for you guys than simply you learn to snowboard while on a ski trip at Victory Fellowship Church. I want to facilitate radical encounter with God in your life while you're here. I don't want it to simply be that, you know what, I grew up in a church and a place where that was a bunch of good people that loved Jesus. I want it to push you so far into your destiny, push you so far into your calling to stir dreams and stuff in you that man, you're thinking real high and you're thinking outside the box on kingdom stuff. That it's not just a thing of, you know what, that's good enough. You know? Ryan, it's not. Okay? It's not. Put a gate up in your life right now. I'm serious. Put a gate up in your life. I don't know what your career or what your profession is going to be, but put a gate up. And say, God, your dream's in my life. God, your vision in my life. God, your pushing in my life. God, your power in my life. God, your strength in my life. You know? You tell me you're going to give us this and this and this and these things, and that's what I'm going to believe for. And by faith and as a prophetic act and declaration, this is what I'm putting up. I want a bunch of kids. It's cool that we can teach a bunch of kids to ski or something like that or whatever, but I had really rather them be a bunch of kids that are going to put some prophetic gates up in their life and say, this is what I believe God can do in my life. And it may not look like it right now, because I may come from a jacked up home situation. I may come from this, or a place of dysfunction, or a place of failure. But this is what God's Word says about me. And this is what the Spirit says about me. And this is what my pastor says about me. And this is what my parents say about me, because they are burning on fire for God. And they believe in me. How many of y'all watched the movie The Help? Beth, one thing I liked about that movie that always stuck with me, you know what the nannies would tell the kids? No matter how jacked up their home life looked like, no matter how much their moms kicked them to the curb and their dads ignored them, you know what the nannies always spoke to them? You are smart. You are kind. You are wonderful. You are significant. You are special. You are somebody. And every day they would rehearse that in their ears. They would rehearse that in their ears. And I want us to make those declarations that Abraham is good, but Abraham's not enough. That the soul man is good as we can redeem it. I said something to TW maybe last week and all of that stuff, and I said redeem TW is good, but redeem TW in himself is not enough. Because that will usher in the blessings of redeemed TW. And Michaela and Rylan need more than just redeemed TW. They need the kingdom of heaven flowing through. They need the soul man to be in submission to the spirit man. They need the kingdom to be ruling and reigning in his life. Because here's what we do is we pray that's going to strip us of all of our dreams. Absolutely. And he'll replace it with dreams that are far, far outweigh. Abraham wanted one seed. You know what God's promise was? Look at the sand of the sea and look at the stars in the sky. He said, that's what I see your seed's going to be. In you all nations will be blessed. All nations of the earth in your seed. And he was even prophetically declaring all the way down to Christ. We're sitting here and saying, I just want to have a real little small influence and touch all of these friends. I want to touch the far reaches of the earth. And if in my capacity, if that's through a Grant Garner or through a Jeff Vaughn, or through whoever we're going to send out next on this, or what we're going to do next on this and this, then we want to touch not only the ends of it, but we want to touch in here. I want to break up some religious constipation in our lives right now. That's the biggest gorilla step. That's to me. That's the biggest 600-pound gorilla in the room right now. Brett, it's not can if I convince Sydney Hanna that she needs to go and be a light to all nations and all of that stuff. Is if she can see mom and dad burning for God and kingdom stuff so bright that she says, dude, this is the model in front of me. And it's not Abraham. It's heaven. It's kingdom. It's kingdom. Let's read the scripture right quick. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You notice He keeps saying this. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We're talking about separating the soul and the spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh, what? Cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So he says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The Word says without faith it is impossible to please God. But he says, but you're not in the flesh because you're filled with the Spirit. How can I win this war against the flesh? Because the Spirit that's living inside of you. That's how you would do it, Terry. That's how this governing thing, this shift out of my personality and my emotions, and this is what I think, and this is my ideas, and all of this. One thing that I find, so many of my ideas are contradictory to God's ideas because I'll short sell it. I'll come in and I'll say, this is it here, and God said, no. Let's go. Try upping that a bit. Do you think that your children dreams for themselves exceed your dreams for them? Probably not. From a parent, they don't. One thing I have typically found is that parents dream more for their kids. If they're in the right mindset as parents, they dream bigger for their kids than their kids dream. Especially true about their grandkids. I done got my 5 grandkids absolutely changing the world. You know, right now they're just wanting another piece of candy. And we laugh. But Shane, isn't that the way we go through life? My Heavenly Father looks at me and says, man, I can see just changing the world through Him. And I'm running around saying, I just want another piece of candy. I just want to shoot a limit of grain heads today. Nothing wrong with that. Piece of candy's good. But can we think bigger? Can we dream bigger? Will our gates declare more? What gates do you have put up on your life? What flag are we flying in our life? I'm serious. What flag are we flying in our life? You know what I was thinking? This sounds kind of weird. What I was thinking during worship down there. I'm like, I believe everybody's got a freak flag. I do. I believe everybody has got, because I have seen some of the most conservative people on the face of the planet. You get them under the influence of alcohol. Oh my. Go to Sturgis. You'll see accountants run around topless for a week. Act an absolute, but I don't even like being around them because they're just so stupid. I'm like, really? You're a grown person. But they get under the influence of something and it pushes them out of their normal life. And all of a sudden, you know what gets run up the flagpole? Their freak flag. And I believe we've got that in our spiritual DNA. And when I say freak flag, don't be offended by that. But when I say freak flag, I'm talking about a flag of freedom. I'm talking a flag of liberty. I'm talking a flag of where I am actually a very fun spiritual person. I'm not walking around speaking in King James trying to do sin management. But I have something called the joy of the Lord in my life. That actually makes my kids want to follow Jesus. They make my grandchildren want to follow Jesus. Make my kids think that marriage is a good institution. Something to desire and aspire to. And that church is a wonderful thing that God's given us. Not a bunch of hypocrites. Like, if they listen to our lunch conversations, they might come away thinking that. I know we don't never dog out church folks in front of our kids, do we? Or the pastor or anybody else. And it comes down, and in this text, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, he's coming in and he's basically this scripture in Genesis, he's laying this out there, and he's saying, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And in this whole thing of chapter 8, and I'm going to read a couple more verses, you know what he's saying in this? He's saying that if until we separate the soul man and the spirit man, until we separate the flesh man and the spirit man, it is impossible for us to please God and walk in His fullness. That the best we're going to achieve in this is walking around as redeemed. You fill in the blank. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I walk around and say, if you see me, you've seen Sid on a good day. You've seen Sid trying to get his act together. Right? As good as I can be to him, as good as I can be to him, as good as I can be to my daughters, it pales in comparison to what God can bring into their life. Do I want them to like and respect and to honor me and to appreciate? Absolutely I do. But it should pale in comparison to his viewpoint and idea of that, of who God is. And we've had this conversation before, and Brett does rightly view this. The blessings that he sees, even the blessings coming through us into their life, you know what he sees that? The source of that stream is the throne room of heaven. The source doesn't start with us. It starts as the throne room of heaven. He rightly discerning that already. But the Apostle Paul says there has got to be a thing to where this thing is separated and this thing dies in order for us to walk and to live in the fullness. Let me read just a couple more verses and I'll be done, and we'll pick back up Wednesday night. Verse 9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Let me read that one more time. For if you live after the flesh, I'm going to take that out and I'm going to put the soul. If you live after the soul, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the soul, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now let me throw this out here just to provoke a little bit of thought before we come back in and kind of expository tear this apart Wednesday night. You assume in part right that when we're talking about the soul man dying and being put in the proper place of government, that he's talking about sin and stuff like that, and that is part of it. But often that is not the biggest threat. I made mention of this a while ago. And I'm convinced that the biggest threat, as I said a while ago, to our kids is not external, it's internal. I'm convinced of that, Jeremy. That the biggest threat is not external, it's internal. The biggest threat in my life is not that I'm going to get tripped up and all of these little sins that come in and want to pull and tear and trip me up and all of that stuff. But I'm convinced that the biggest threat to me that I've got to separate is the soulish thinking that comes in and it settles for the blessings of Abraham. When the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, he didn't come in and tempt him with what we call the big sins. But you know really what he did? He was real subtle. He came in and he said, if you are the Son of God, then turn this bread into flesh. But he left out one thing. What was God's big declarative statement over Jesus when he baptized him? He said, this is what? My beloved Son. And what did Satan come in and say? He left out the beloved Son. He wanted to question, does God really love you? Like he says he loves you. He sent you up into the wilderness, you're hungry, da-da-da, and all of this stuff. Does your physical need, does that take precedent over the spiritual need? And he began to attack him in that way. The big thing with my... I heard some profound teaching on John the Baptist last week that I'm just still chewing on, and it's just like, wow. And the minister in that, he was talking about how John the Baptist did not end well. Now think about this. In separating the spirit and the flesh, it's not always talking about the big sin. Okay? John the Baptist, we know he wound up getting beheaded, right? He wound up getting beheaded. Because he came in and he attacked Herod and the fact that he was living with his brother's sister and said, y'all were living in adultery, da 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 da. So she got mad and she had him beheaded and everything. Was that his calling to do that? Here's just a little snapshot, and this is how I want to tie this in, and I want to close with this. Here's just a little snapshot of this. Look at the end of the way that John the Baptist ended. How did he end? The word said that after Jesus got baptized, that all of John's disciples left John and started following Jesus. Rightly so, correct? Because John's own declaration was, I must decrease and he must increase. So the natural thing was, my disciples, why follow me? They should be following Jesus. Amen? All right? At the end, when he's offended with Jesus, who's he sending out to ask Jesus, are you here? Should we look for another? He done got him some more disciples. His thing was not that I'm going to go out and fall into the trap of all of this sin, but his thing was coming in and supposing this is what my ministry is supposed to look like, this is what my life is supposed to look like, instead of saying, what does the Word of God say about my life? What does the Spirit say about the declarations in me and over me and through me and all of this stuff? And in reality, and I totally agree with this teaching I'm listening to, that John did not finish well in that sense. He didn't finish well. And my thing for us, guys, is not necessarily the fact. My big concern is not you running around with a meter maid. Or some girl that comes into the laundromat is like, what's up? That's not my concern for you. My concern for you is you coming in and you being everything that God created and designed you to be, and for you settling for less. And just being a good guy that loves Jesus. Because I don't want you to walk out of the duck lodge and have missed two opportunities to really release kingdom into people's lives. You say, that's not as bad as running around with a meter maid. Maybe not, but it's missing the mark. And what is sin? Here, we need to shift our thinking on sin. Our thinking of sin, when I grew up, it was you don't drink, you don't smoke, and you don't cuss. That was the big three. Anybody else grow up, Matt? If you did those things, it was like, it's like a water boy's mouth and a devil. But I know a lot of people that didn't drink, didn't smoke, and didn't cuss, and they flat out missed the mark with kingdom stuff. And you know what sin is? Sin's missing the mark. Sin's me missing the mark on an opportunity of laying hands and praying over somebody. Sin's me not speaking that word over Melinda that I gave Melinda a word in there and just spoke over her and just declared some things over her, Matt. And with the worship team in there and all that stuff. You know what sin is? Sin is me not giving that because I'm like, well, I don't want to, you know. And we all wrestle with that, don't we? It's missing the mark. Because my soul, man, what are they going to think about me? And what's this and all of that stuff? And da 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 da. And I'm not saying be weird for the sake of being weird, but I'm saying being Spirit-led for the sake of being Spirit-led. And if to the world that looks weird, what's the definition of praise? What was it I threw out there a while ago? Huh? Exact word on that. Let me throw that out there. What did he say? Clamorously foolish. Clamorously foolish. This is what it talked about getting us to the next level, guys. I said something to Jeffrey a couple weeks ago about when Michael was down here a few weeks ago and he gave Brett a word. I don't know what word he gave Brett. Then he went over and started praying for Lori and all of that stuff. You know what that is? That's the spirit man ruling and not the flesh man. That's the blessing of God, not the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham is I was at church this morning and I didn't get hammered last night. Is that enough? No. So God's really wanting us to take this thing to the next level, to the next step. And that next step is Him coming in and cutting and stripping. And we can call it potter's wheel. We can go to Jeremiah 18. We can talk about the potter's house. And we can talk about all of that. We can talk about Him pruning. We can whatever verbiage you want to use on that. But it's really God coming in and Jeremy Crane dying so God can be raised up in the skin of Jeremy Crane. That's really what it is. Is Jeremy Crane's dreams and ideas and ambitions and thoughts and my slant on things. The world, according to Jeremy Crane, needs to die. And you know what it needs to be? It needs to be the world according to Jesus Christ clothed in Jeremy Crane. The world according to Sid Garner needs to die. But the world according to kingdom clothed in Sid Garner is what needs to live. And that's what's going to change this. That's what's going to change that. That's what's going to change that. It's up to us. It's up to us this year. Let's stand to our feet. I'm done. I don't want to beleaguer you guys today too long. I know I can get wordy and can just talk and talk and talk and talk. This isn't the most exciting stuff. But often it's the most crucial stuff. You can ask Larry Morris when is probably the most crucial time for his grapevines. You know when he would tell you? It's not when you're cutting clusters of grapes off. When you're cutting it back. It's when you're pruning it. Me and Lori like to quail hunt. Where we go quail hunting in South Georgia, you know what the most critical thing for them to have a successful season the next year? It's not November when you're shooting birds. It's March when you're burning everything. Because they'll get in there in March and they'll light a fire to it. And they will burn 6,000 acres of pine trees and fields. Because it kills everything else that will compete for the cobra espadiza and the beggar lice and the food plots and all of these things that are important for the life of the quail. And this is how I can best show you and paint you a picture of what this looks like. You say, what does God want to cut out of my life? Or what does God want to put in a place of subservient? And you know what the answer is? Anything that will compete against His will, His purpose, and His plan. If I put this at such a premium, did it put serious competition on my relationship with God? You know what needs to happen to it? Ashley, it needs to be brought down and put on a lower shelf. It doesn't need to be top shelf. It needs to be lower shelf. Y'all see what I'm saying in that? The purpose of burning is we want to eliminate everything that will compete. The purpose of pruning is we want to eliminate everything that will compete for the proper life-giving nutrients. You say, what does this thing look like in my life? That's what God's going to do. He's going to come in. And He's going to say, all right, what in Robin's life, what in her mind, what in her attitude, what in her personality, what in her dreams is going to compete for my dreams for her? And the things that He deems that will compete for those things, that's the things that He wants to eliminate or put in a place of yielding, a place of less significance. And that's what's going to happen to you this year. Is God's going to come in and He's going to do a sample, and he's going to do a testing, and he's going to say, what is it? What's in here that's competing? And you know what he'll do based on our scripture that we studied in Genesis 25? He'll take the sons of Keturah, and he'll say, here's some gifts. Bye. Here's some gifts. Bye. I'm going to put you over here. Because I don't want anything that will compete with Judah or Ella. You know what I'm saying in that context. And if it does, it needs to take a back seat. If it does, it needs to take a back seat. Needs to get off the top shelf. Because his dreams and his ideas and his plans and his purpose. And Abraham died. God blessed Isaac. Father, we come to you this morning. And I thank you for the people that are here today. I thank you for the worship time that we had. I thank you for the words that have been released in this house this morning. I thank you for the challenge of your word. I thank you for the cutting of your word. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says that it is sharp as a two-edged sword, the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. And I pray, Father, right now over this body, and I declare over these people that you would come in and we would allow you in our lives to begin a cutting process to where the soul man gets cut and separated and placed in a place of submission over the spirit man. That we are led by you, that we hear your voice, that we respond properly, That you put the gates up in our lives according to your dreams for our family, for our children. We say yes to that today, Father. And it may be a process, it may be a painful process, but we say yes to that. Because, Father, we desire fruit that remains. We desire to be able to come in and cast crowns at your feet. We desire to be able to you to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we do not, as a body, want to be just a people that they are good folks that love Jesus. Lord, I believe more than that for this congregation of believers, this community of believers. I believe more than that for them. And as pastor in this house, I say yes to this body for more than that. Lord, you come in and you cut and you do what only you can do. And God, we will just sit back and we'll marvel at the glorious outcome. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen and amen. You guys have an amazing week. We'll see y'all Wednesday night. Yes.
I'm real bad at wanting to handle stuff my own and myself. A couple weeks ago, Christy thought she was getting a urinary tract infection. I don't think that's what it is, and it's getting worse. I've been up all night praying. And I've been praying God to reach down and touch her physically, supernaturally, miraculously touch her. She's got a doctor's appointment in the morning. But I want God to move, and I want God to touch her today. So I want all the ladies in the house to pray for her. I mean, it's not something I can do, but I'm bad about wanting to handle it on my own. And, you know, me and Gordon are real tight, and Gordon knows that I try to handle things as me. And I can't handle this. It's not something I can do. So I want the women of the house to pray for her.